Well, welcome. I hope you had an amazing Christmas. I hope you're able to spend time with friends and family as we walk through this past week. Today's kind of a special day for us here at Hoboken Grace because typically the week after Christmas, we take that Sunday off here at Hoboken Grace. Since the beginning of Hoboken Grace, we always have. But this year, we're doing something a little bit different. One, because so much of what we do has moved online and has given us the capability to be able to allow our volunteers to still experience their family and to travel to see their family, but we could still have this service online for you to be able to participate in. And the other thing is, there's something that we wanted to talk about that is critical to Hoboken Grace, and we haven't had the opportunity, as we've moved through the past couple of years, to really sit down and walk through, okay, this is what we're doing and why we're doing it. And listen to me, as you're on this journey, if you're going to experience Jesus, if you're going to pursue Jesus, what we have to talk about today is critical. For those of you who are looking at, okay, who is this Jesus? Can I follow him? What would it look like to begin to follow him? This is critical. And we want to take today to be able to walk you through that. We also want today to be a resource that for you to be able to reference back to when people ask you, why Hoboken Grace? Why do they do that? And so I hope that today will be helpful in answering that question for you. Because today, what I want to do is I want to walk through rhythms. And I want to talk to you about why it is that we do this and what rhythms are all about. Now, in order to understand the answer to that question, you have to understand that here at Hoboken Grace, we believe that growth is about intimacy. That growth is not just about the accumulation of information, but that growth, transformation in our lives is a result of intimacy. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about intimacy. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. He says, there's nothing in my life more valuable than my relationship to him, than my relationship with him. Everything flows out of that. Growth in our lives, transformation is the result of intimacy with God. And listen to me, it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter who you are, God, he has pursued you. Not just for you to be able to do the right thing. No, he has pursued you because he wants for you to know him. He wants to be in that relationship with you. He wants to adopt you as his child. It's all about a relationship that you get to journey with him in this way. And growth flows out of that connection. But here's the thing. That takes time. Just like every relationship, that takes time. And God has incredibly pursued you, but if you're going to have a strong relationship, we have to pursue him as well. And if you're going to have a strong relationship with him, it's going to take consistency. One of my favorite passages as it pertains to this is found in the book of 1 Timothy. It says this, it says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. I remember reading this passage, and it literally changed my life. It was at a time in my life where I was in incredible shape. I was in the gym every day. As you can see, that's not the case anymore, but there was a time when that was true. I promise you, it was actually true. I know some of you are struggling to believe it, but it was true. And what I was experiencing in the gym was incredible. And as I sat down one night to just continue to read through God's word, I read this passage. And in this moment, God is comparing, okay, physical growth to spiritual growth. And this reality that, if you've ever worked out, if you've ever had physical growth goals in your life, you know that this is true. The key is consistency. that you're at that gym every day, that you're going for that run every day. If you've ever trained for a marathon, you know consistency is so crucial. And if you take a break, if there's a gap in that training, it can set you back drastically. And all of a sudden I realized the same thing's true in my relationship with God. The same thing's true in my relationship with God. And here's the thing. This is true about all relationships. This is not some special thing that's true about your relationship with God. This is true about all relationships. When you stop pursuing someone, when two people stop pursuing each other, they begin to grow apart. All of us understand this. I say in my marriage class, every time I tell them, you don't have to do anything to destroy your marriage. You just don't work on it. And it's amazing how we naturally grow apart. The same thing is actually true in our relationship with God. When we're not pursuing Him in response to His pursuit, we grow apart. When we talk about God having a relationship with us, we mean a real relationship. And He wants to be on this journey with us. But if that's going to happen, we have to pursue Him as well. And in this relationship, we have two major disabilities. My son Cale has helped me so much. As a matter of fact, it was as I was working through his disability that I really came to see this in my own life. One of the things that I love is that as a parent, as we were learning about Down syndrome and we were learning about his disability, we were introduced to the idea that, well, you don't call certain kids normal and other kids not normal. You might talk about certain kids as being typical and then other kids as maybe having a disability that's not as typical as other disabilities. And as I heard that wording, and as I was introduced to that idea, I realized, wait, no. Now that is so incredibly profound because there are some disabilities that are very typical. And we look at that and we think, well, that's normal, but it's not actually normal. There's still disabilities. It's just that everyone has them, and so therefore they're very typical. And then there are ones that maybe aren't as common. And I realized, wait. This isn't just true of us physically as human beings. This is also true spiritually. And I realized that there were some disabilities that God was actually calling out in my life and your life that are so shared that we don't think anything of them. But from the beginning of this story, God has been telling us, pay attention. You have a disability. You have a disability that you need to address. And if you're going to have this relationship with me, if you're going to experience me the way that I want for you to experience me, if you're going to take me to the world the way that I want for you to take me to the world, if you're going to be part of my story, the way that I created you to be part of this story, then you have to address those disabilities. There's one in particular that he talks about constantly. Now again, it's a typical disability. In other words, all of us have it. As a matter of fact, there's almost no one who doesn't have this disability. But make no mistake about it, it is a disability. And that is the reality that we all forget. We all forget. Now, I know as I say that, for some of you say, well, that's not a disability. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it costs us constantly. I mean, think about it. Inside of your own relationships with a person that maybe, with your roommate, with the person that you're dating, with your spouse, how many problems have been caused by the fact that you forget? How many of the conflicts in your relationships are the result of the fact that you forget? And you forgot to pick that up on your way home, and you forgot to clean out the sink the night before. You forgot their birthday. Hopefully you didn't forget an anniversary, but I've heard that happens. But you and I, all of us, we forget. Now, we don't think anything of it because of the fact that it's typical. But make no mistake about it, it's a disability. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God uses the word remember as much as he uses the word love? That's crazy, isn't it? As many times as he talks about love, he talks about remembering. Why? Because he wants you to understand you have a problem. It's not a problem he has. It's a problem you have. He doesn't forget. You forget. And so he's constantly over and over and over again calling them to remember. As a matter of fact, he sets up all these feasts and holidays and he has them establish these different places throughout the nation that are visual reminders. All of it is designed to help them remember. Deuteronomy 4 says this. It says, so remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. He says, you have to remember. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Remember how I've loved you. Remember how I've been faithful. You have to remember. One of the last things that Jesus does as he's with his disciples is that he establishes a practice of remembrance. We talk about it as the Lord's Supper or as communion. It says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Well, why do we do this? Do this because it's a great celebration of me? Do this? No, no. What? Why? To remember. Why? Well, because we have a disability. We forget. And so we begin to believe that God doesn't love us because we forget how he has loved us. We begin to believe that God's abandoned us, or we begin to doubt his faithfulness because we forget how incredibly faithful he's been in the past. We walk into situations and we think, how God could work through this, because we forget how he did it the last time. We forget. It's a massive disability. And it keeps us from being able to experience God and pursue God the way that we were created to. But that's not the only one. Another disability that God talks about in our lives over and over again throughout the biblical narrative, throughout Scripture, is the disability of blindness. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you can't physically see. I'm talking about the fact that we are limited in our ability to see spiritually, to understand spiritually what's happening in the world around us, our ability to be able to see God for who he truly is. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Now, this is Paul. He's writing about the church. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. He's clearly, as he starts off, listen to how he starts off. He's talking about, I want to talk about your faith. He's talking to people who have already stepped into a relationship with Jesus. This is very important because listen to how he continues. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He prays for wisdom, but then he prays for what? Revelation, so that you may know him better. He says, I want for that relationship to grow. Well, what's critical if that relationship is going to grow? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He says, I want for you to be able to see. I want for you to be able to see the hope. I want for you to see the riches that he's bringing into your life. But here's the reality. We spiritually, we are blind. And make no mistake about this. He's writing this, as we pointed out earlier, he's not writing this to people who haven't stepped into a relationship with Jesus. He's writing this to people who have stepped into a relationship with Jesus, which means this. Listen. Salvation doesn't eliminate spiritual blindness. Salvation does not eliminate your disability of blindness. He's talking to those who've already stepped into the relationship, and they still struggle to see. Because you see, spiritually they're blind. They haven't awakened to the reality of the world around them. Acts 17:28 says this. It says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." He says, in him we live and move and have our being, but we struggle to see it and we struggle to remember it. And Paul says, I pray that you would continue to awaken to see what it is that you cannot yet see. Oftentimes, we think about our spiritual journey as arriving or achieving or accomplishing, but it's interesting. Paul doesn't tell them how to do this. He prays for it to happen. He doesn't tell them how to do this, how to achieve this, or how to be able to accomplish this or arrive at this. No, he prays for it to happen. This journey is not arriving or achieving. Most of this journey that we're on is about awakening. It's about awakening. It's about seeing. It's so hard for us to grasp this. But listen to me. You don't have to make yourself holy. You need to awaken to the reality that Jesus has made you holy. Growth in your life won't actually be because you work hard to make yourself holy. It will be because you awaken to the reality of what Jesus has done as he's made you new from the inside out. You don't need to work for God's love. You need to awaken to the reality of how you're loved. So much of this journey is about seeing. It's about awakening. Not to what it is that you're going to do, but to what it is that he's done. One of our core values here at Hoboken Grace is the value of grace. Listen to how we state it. We say, at the very center of God's story with man, we find grace. By grace, God pursues those who've walked away, rescues those who deserve to die, frees those who live as slaves, and will transform those who cannot change. Do you hear that? Cannot change. You see, we don't believe that we're the ones who are going to make this happen. We believe that he does this in us as we draw close to him. That's why growth is the result of intimacy. And all of it is by grace, not of works, lest any of us in some way, shape, or form could become proud and boast about what we've done. And so therefore, as we look at this journey, it's critical, it's crucial that we work to address our forgetfulness and our blindness. See, God calls us to draw close to him because it's in intimacy that we begin to see. John 15:5 says, "Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me," that intimacy, "that those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It's all about the relationship. We have these disabilities. So what do we do? Well, the first thing that's critical is this. We have to acknowledge our disability. You have to acknowledge it. If you're not honest about it, you're never going to be able to be able to thrive in it. Listen to how Jesus says this to the Pharisees. It says, "Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind." Again, you see it again. "To give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind." He says to the Pharisees, he says, I'm here to help people see and to be able to step into the lives of those who think that they can see and show them that they have this disability. But then listen to how he continues. He says, "Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying that we're blind?" Jesus says, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty," Jesus replied, "but you remain guilty because you claim you can see." And he says, the reality is, if you would admit that you're blind, it wouldn't be a problem. He says, "but you remain guilty because you claim that you can see." He says, the problem, guys, is not the fact that you're blind. Because here's the thing, I know that, and I'm pursuing you, and I love you in that. But I can't help you to see if you won't admit that you're blind. I can't help you to see if you won't admit that I have a problem. As he continues, he tells this story, and it's illustrating how because of the fact that they won't admit their disability, because of this reality, they're trying to find other ways to be able to get to God instead of what Jesus wants to make possible. Listen to me, the problem isn't that we have the disability. The problem only arises if we don't acknowledge it. If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim that you can see. But when you come to the point where you acknowledge, I understand, I acknowledge my disability, I acknowledge that I can't see, well, then you're able to be led forward by Jesus in this relationship. Then the Father's able to take your hand and to lead you forward. You understand that, no, I'm completely dependent on Him to help me see. I'm completely dependent on Him to lead me in my blindness. One of the things that was interesting to me as I've been on this journey with these disabilities and looking at our struggle, one of the things that was really interesting to me is that if you meet someone who is blind, like truly blind, one of the things that you'll discover is that they are incredible at listening. They have the ability to hear things that you or I, we don't hear. Their sense of hearing has improved drastically. And we understand this about senses. Oftentimes when you lose the ability, when you lose one of your senses, your other senses become heightened. And it's incredibly true with blind people as it pertains to hearing. And thinking through that and just processing that in my own life, I mean, what is one of the most important things that Jesus calls us to do? Well, He calls us to listen. It's amazing how when you don't think you're blind, you can't listen well. But when we acknowledge it, all of a sudden, well then, we start to listen a lot better. We start to listen for the one who wants to lead us forward. People who ignore their disabilities never grow. One of the things that we talk about all the time with my son as he's working with his disability is the reality that no. This disability doesn't have to keep you from growing. You can be all that God created you to be. The only thing that will keep you from that is if you don't acknowledge the disability and you don't decide to step into it with Him. The same thing is true for you. The only way that this will keep you from growing is if you don't acknowledge it, or if you decide that you're going to allow it to limit you. But it doesn't have to. Which is why, one, we have to acknowledge it, and then number two, we have to engage the process. Now, in the Old Testament, God actually spoke to the nation of Israel and said, here's what I want for you to do, specifically in the lives of their kids. Here's what I want for you to do in order to help them to grow. Listen to what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. He said, I want for you to have this relationship with Him. I want for you to love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. Well, how do I do that? How do I, knowing my disabilities, how do I do that? He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. And then listen to how he talks about how they should do that. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. He says, here's what I want for you to do. I want for you to love the Lord your God. I want you to have this relationship with Him. So in the lives of your kids, because I want for you to impress this upon them. I want for them to have this relationship with me. So how do I do that? Well, here's the thing. You need to engage this. You need to remind them, not just once a day, of this relationship with God. You need to remind them while you're walking along the way, when you get up, when you lie down. There needs to be, as you move through the day, a constant what? Remembering. A constant awareness of the blindness. A constant calling out and listening. If you understand that you're blind, you realize you don't just need someone to lead you once a day. You need to be led all day. You need to be led throughout the day. Why? Well, because I can't see what He sees. And so he calls them to, well, to this rhythm, a rhythm in their day of remembering, of listening, of being led. And so here at Hope and Grace, as we've looked at our disabilities, as we've acknowledged it, we've decided, okay, we want to do the same thing. We want to embrace the process the same way. And so what we've worked to do is to be able to develop, okay, what does it look like to have healthy rhythms in our life, healthy times of remembering, listening, so that we can be led, so that we don't forget who God is, that we don't forget and begin to believe that we can see when we can't see. And ways in which we can engage His Word and listen carefully to Him. It's interesting. One of the most prominent ways that God talks about His Word in our life, the picture that He uses, is the picture of bread. He talks about it as bread, something that we consume that nourishes us. But for many of us, even for those of us who are pursuing God, we eat in binges. In other words, we eat a lot one time a day. That's not healthy. When it comes to growth, physically, we understand that's not healthy. We want to develop healthy eating habits. That means that we don't just want to binge once a day and eat as much as we can. No, we want to consistently nourish ourselves spiritually, to remember, to listen, to be led. We want to engage Him throughout our day. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17 says this: be joyful, pray continually. Engage God in this conversation, not just once during your day, not just in one moment during your day, but continually throughout the day. Why? Why? Because in this relationship, we have these disabilities that we need to engage. We have these disabilities that can keep us from experiencing God the way that we're created to if we don't develop healthy rhythms. Now for us here at Hope and Grace, we've developed a couple different tools for you to be able to use in those rhythms. And we encourage people to develop and decide, okay, there are going to be specific times in our day that I'm going to engage God, not just once, but multiple times in my day. And we encourage people to do it at least 3 times. As a matter of fact, on the app, one of the things that we built out this past year is that you can actually subscribe for notifications for those rhythms. So that on your phone, you're going to get a notification. In the morning, there's going to be a notification that talks to you, that calls you to the Bible reading plan, and specifically to engage with Anthony and I in the morning show about that Bible reading plan so that we can grow together. At noon, it calls you to our memorization verse and looking at, or it calls you to our meditation passage and looking at our passage for that month. And then at the end of the day, it calls you to our memorization verse to be able to sit down and say, okay, how am I memorizing? And we've developed several of these tools, and we're looking at, okay, how do I develop rhythms for me to be able to build these tools in my life to be able to address the fact that I'm forgetful and address the reality that I can't see. So we have several of these tools. The first one is the idea of meditation. We don't just want to intake information. We want to experience transformation. That means that we want to sit with a passage. The way that we do this is we sit with one passage. It's usually just a couple verses that are incredibly profound, and we sit with those for an entire month. And every day we read that passage for an entire month. And we practice it at noon here at Hoboken Grace. But the reality is that you can build this in at any point in your day. All of these are available on our app if you click on Rhythms on the bottom bar of our app. And so every month, we introduce a new meditation passage. I usually introduce that online in a video that actually talks through the passage and what it is that we're focusing in on. In addition to that meditation passage, we have contemplative questions. These are questions that go along with it that really dig into our lives. Do I actually believe this about God? Am I actually following God in this? What would it look like for me to practice this during my day? Those contemplative questions force us into transformation. It forces us into application. In addition to that, inside of that meditation passage, we have one verse that we're trying to memorize every month. This is our memory verse. One of the things that God calls us to when it comes to engaging Him, when it comes to understanding and listening to Him, is to memorize. As a matter of fact, this is something that we see consistently throughout Scripture, God saying, no, I don't want you to just read it. I want for you to memorize it. I want for you to hide it in your heart. I want for it to become a part of who you are. I want for it to transform the way that you think. And so every month we have one verse that we're doing that with, and we're trying to figure out, okay, where in my day am I going to do that? What's my rhythm going to be with that? In addition to that, we have a communion practice. This is something that you can do with your dinner group. It's designed really to be done inside of a dinner group setting. Or maybe you can do this with your family as you sit down. Maybe once a month you establish, okay, we're going to walk through the communion practice together as a family, or maybe you and your roommates, whatever it may be. That this is a time to be able to what? Remember. For us to remember. Again, another tool that we can use inside of those rhythms. Another thing that we have developed is a fasting tool. Fasting is a practice of overcoming our appetites and making sure that, my spirit is what's leading me forward, not my flesh. And so every month we put together something for you to practice as you walk through a day of fasting. And as you decide, okay, while the sun's up this day, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm going to engage my appetites, understanding that I have power. I have control over them. They do not have control over me. But as you walk through that, we tie that into our meditation passage and look again at, okay, how does that passage speak to how I engage my flesh, how I engage God, how I'm remembering and being led by Him? In addition to that, we also have a solitude practice. And we encourage people once a month to be able to get away, not just to be engaging God consistently throughout your day, but to be able to set aside at least one day a month where you get away and be alone with Him. Why? Because it's crucial to relationships. It's crucial to pursuing someone. And we walk you through that. Okay, what is it that we're focusing in on? What is something that I can practice today as I'm alone with God? Because for many of us, we've never done that with Him. For some of you, you're scared to do that with Him. And we don't want to just say, hey, just go for it. No, we want to give you a tool to help you to thrive in that. And then here at Hope and Grace, we have our reading schedule, where as a church, we read through the New Testament together. This past year was pretty special because Anthony and I actually talked through every single one of those passages for the last several months on our morning show, and we walked through it that way. But you can subscribe to that at hobokengrace.com. It'll actually be emailed right to your inbox. It's available on the app as well, but it's one of those, another tool. Now, this is one of those daily rhythm tools because we want to engage God on a consistent basis in our day. And so we're trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to use that daily meditation passage? Where am I going to use that daily reading schedule? Where am I going to use that daily memorization verse and building that in? In addition to that, we've also laid out an intercessory prayer schedule. There's many things that God calls us to pray for, and we want to be faithful in that. We want to engage Him and be led in all these different areas of our life. And so we have certain days that are actually, that certain things that are assigned to specific days of the week to remind us of what it is that God's called us to seek His guidance in and things to pray for. And as you look at these tools, what's the goal? What's the goal of these tools? Well, the goal is intimacy. The goal is to be able to look at our lives and to be able to figure out, okay, how do I, acknowledging my disability, how do I pursue best the one who loves me most? I see how He's pursued me. I want that intimacy with Him, but I know in order to do that, I have to combat the fact that I forget. And so maybe for you, it's meditation passage in the morning and it's reading schedule in the afternoon and memorization at night. Or maybe you follow our plan and you subscribe to the notifications. And so it's reading schedule in the morning and then it's meditation passage in the afternoon to remind you, re-engage you in that conversation, and memorization verse in the evening to be able to once again seek Him and the relationship that He gave His life to make possible, that the Father gave His Son to make possible. Yes, the reality is that we are forgetful. And the reality is that we can't see. We need to be led. But just as He always has, our Father has stepped into our lives. He's taken us by the hand. And he said, no. That doesn't have to keep you from me. That doesn't have to keep you from me. No. I want to lead you through this. And I want for you to know me the way that you were created to know me. I hope as we walk into this next year, I hope that you'll engage the rhythms with us. I hope that you'll be able to experience God working and moving, even in the midst of the disabilities that we share. Because after all, Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life for that. Father, I thank you so much for both what you have taught us about ourselves, the reality of our disabilities, but that you haven't just told us that. You have stepped into our lives to lead us through that. And I pray that not only would we continue to experience being pursued by you, but most importantly, I pray that we would learn what it is to pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen.